This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
An Italian-American deal.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Chrysler just got a $4 billion loan from the Bush administration. But some people think Chrysler still won't make it through the year unless something else happens. That something else could be a partnership with Fiat. Today, the Italian carmaker confirmed it is talking with Chrysler, and there are reports that a deal could be announced today. More now from Ashley Milne-Tite.
The deal could involve Fiat taking a 35% stake in Chrysler by the summer. But Fiat wouldn't be injecting cash into the Detroit carmaker. Instead, it would finance the revamping of some Chrysler plants to produce Fiat models for sale in the U.S. Even with money from the U.S. government, Birmingham Business School professor David Bailey says Chrysler won't survive on its own. In the long run, he says, the U.S. automaker has to downsize and make cars that are cheaper to run.
Now, Fiat may actually provide an opportunity to produce cars which will appeal to American customers in the sense that they are smaller and much more economical. But Chrysler is not in great shape, and Fiat needs to think very carefully about whether it wants to take this on.
Fiat's been looking for an American partner for a few months. Bailey says it's keen to relaunch brands like the Alfa Romeo in the U.S. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Fiat shares were suspended on the Milan Stock Exchange today, pending more information on this potential deal. Elsewhere in Europe, stocks are a little bit higher so far, less than 1%. But in Asia, the markets closed decidedly lower, close to 3%. The Dow is at 82.81. The Nasdaq is at 15.29 to start the short week. Today's inauguration will be a big test for cell phone companies. Just think of all those people texting and calling and uploading pictures during the big moment. Jeremy Hobson has more on that.
Cell providers boost capacity for events like the Super Bowl and NASCAR races, but Joe Farron of the Cellular Telecommunications Industry Association says today's inauguration will likely dwarf those gatherings when it comes to network demand.
We're talking about millions and millions of additional people converging in what is a very small area.
Farron says cell users should text, not talk, to reduce network congestion. And mobile companies are sending in temporary cell towers on wheels and boosting capacity of existing towers. Sprint Nextel spokesman John Taylor says the company got a trial run at Sunday's inaugural concert at the Lincoln Memorial.
We had an additional 1 million calls during that event.
The price tag for all this increased capacity is a secret, but Verizon spokesman John Johnson says
Verizon Wireless has invested more than $1 billion in greater D.C. since 2000.
Perhaps out of fear that any carrier that can't handle today's call volume may not be re-elected by its customers. I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
The animal welfare group PETA was hoping to get a private audience with Obama at the inauguration. They wanted to convince him to go vegetarian. PETA bid on some VP inauguration tickets, or VIP inauguration tickets, so they could make a pitch. Unfortunately, turns out those tickets were tied to a Connecticut investment firm that lost billions investing with Bernie Madoff. So PETA will have to find another way in.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing people-ready enterprise solutions. Software based on how people really work. And by Medtronic Foundation, now looking for runners benefiting from medical technology to participate in Medtronic Twin Cities Marathon events. Application at medtronic.com/globalheroes.
We have a pretty good idea what Barack Obama wants to do once he becomes President Obama today. And he said he wants bipartisan support for his economic plans. So let's hear from a more conservative viewpoint on fixing the economy. We're joined by Kevin Hassett. He's Director of Economic Policy Studies at the American Enterprise Institute. Kevin, what do you think Obama's number one priority should be?
I think the top priority is to be much more clear about what economic policy is going to look like than President Bush has been. Treasury has been running this TARP program and been doing it kind of under a cloak of secrecy. I think that that uncertainty or the uncertainty created by that has discouraged market participants from jumping in and throwing their own capital in there. Mm-hmm. It would be crazy, for example, to invest in a bank right now because you don't know if the Treasury is going to get in front of you. List the things that you think are the core principles of your policy and then stick to them.
Well, what's at the top of your list?
I think that it's very important for Congress to keep money in reserve. And I think that it's very important that Congress or Treasury be careful not to fritter away the TARP funds. You know, the temptation will be to go out and put out a little fire every day, and then we'll wake up a couple months from now and we won't have any money left. I think it's important for the TARP monies to be a backstop so that if things start to go wrong again, then we're ready to move quickly.
And Kevin, as far as the stimulus package goes, what do you think about the way it's shaping up?
I think that stimulus is necessary right now, but it needs to be tied again with clarity about what the long-run strategy is going to be. If we go out and we build bridges and buy fighter planes and, you know, mail people checks and so on, and at the same time signal that we're serious about returning to normal when the economy does, then it's likely that the stimulus can be quite effective. Now, getting a check in the mail that's financed by money we borrowed from the Chinese is not really cause for optimism.
But Kevin, you're a conservative. I thought you liked tax cuts.
Oh, I do like tax cuts. And you'll notice the nuance of my language. I said there must be ways to get more revenue. I think that if we cut the corporate tax, it's likely you'd get more revenue. And we don't get a lot of revenue relative to GDP in the U.S. We have about the highest corporate tax. So it's not necessarily the tax rate that has to go up. But, you know, absolutely, you have to be willing to lift some rates and to change things around right now. Because, look, if you reverse the Bush tax cuts, you're probably going to reduce the long-run deficit by, I don't know, about 10% or something right now, as big as the deficit is.
Kevin Hassett is Director of Economic Policy Studies at the American Enterprise Institute. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks. It's been great to be here.
Share your opinions with us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.